Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Indocon Industries Limited Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Jain, Executive Vice Chairman. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and a very warm welcome to all of you joining us for the Indocon Industries Limited Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings call. I am also joined by our Group CFO, Mr. Muralidharan, Manish Bhatia, our CFO, and Strategic Growth Advisors, our Investor Relations Advisor. We hope all of you have had the chance to review the financial results and the investor presentation available on the stock exchange and on our company website. Let me start by giving some broad highlights before we dive deeper in some of the business areas. For our utility bedding segment, we are very pleased to announce the signing of a licensing agreement with the Tommy Hilfiger brand. This marks our sixth licensed brand, with four added in the last 2 years. This continued expansion underscores Indocom's strong brand equity, manufacturing capabilities, and trusted global partnerships. Tommy Hilfiger is a globally recognized brand with a legacy of over four decades across apparel, accessories, home textiles, and lifestyle products. We are also happy to share that the recent relaunch of Armsutra in the US has seen encouraging early traction. Within a short span, we have sold the products within all 50 states in the US market, reflecting strong brand recall and customer acceptance. This progress is in line with our strategic focus on premiumization and improving margin profile. This is an important step for us in strengthening our brand-led growth strategy and advancing our positioning in the value chain, particularly through our evolving direct-to-consumer model. On our 2028 guidance, we reiterate our earlier guidance of achieving approximately $275 million in revenues from the utility bedding segment and the US brand business over the next 3 years. The momentum from both Armsutra and the addition of Tommy Hilfiger reinforces our confidence in delivering on this guidance. Let me now talk on the core business. The tariff challenge persists in our core business. The 50% tariff imposed on India in late August 2025 has impacted India's export competitiveness in the US market. However, given India's long-established leadership in the US home textile, Indocon has been able to maintain its market share. Despite the challenging environment, we delivered sequential volume growth, with volumes increasing by approximately 7% quarter on quarter to 25.2 million meters. Importantly, we have not witnessed any major order cancellations, which underscores the strength of our long-standing customer relationships. We have been observing product mix shifts and downgrading since Q4 2025, and we have proactively navigated these changes to support our partners and maintain business continuity. With the additional Russian oil penalty of 25%, we made a strategic decision to temporarily partner with our customers on a case-to-case basis to protect long-term relationships and to maintain market share. This has temporarily affected margins, and we anticipate the situation to prevail until the tariff structure stabilizes. We remain optimistic about the ongoing US-India trade discussions and expect tariff rates to eventually settle at levels below the current structures. During this period, our focus remains on balancing market share and profitability while reinforcing strategic customer partnerships and protecting our long-term market share and positioning. Let me share updates on the new business. Our utility bedding and USA branded segments continue to scale, with their combined contribution increasing to 17% of revenues in Q2 FY26 compared to 13% in the previous quarter. This implies a quarter-on-quarter increase of approximately 40% and is now at a run rate of approximately $85 million per annum as we stand. The tariff impact on this portfolio is limited, as the utility bedding is manufactured in the United States and the branded segment is relatively less price sensitive, and the products, including all the raw materials, can be imported from various countries. Despite the challenging backdrop, we maintained approximately 60% capacity utilization across both our existing U.S. manufacturing facilities. Regarding our third manufacturing facility in North Carolina in the United States, which was initially scheduled to commence operation in September 2025, there has been a minor delay. The facility is now expected to become operational during late Q3 FY26 or early Q4 FY26. This greenfield project represents an investment of approximately $15 million and is being built with an annual production capacity of approximately 18 million pillows. Once fully ramped up, this facility is expected to generate $85 to $90 million in annual revenues at optimal capacity utilization. We remain confident in our previously stated guidance of achieving approximately $175 million in annual revenues from the utility bedding business by 2028. Coming to the domestic market. In the Indian market, we are witnessing an encouraging uptick. The uptick is increasing, led by value-added offerings, a segment where Indocount holds inherent strength in design, product development, and quality execution. Just to give you some flavor, during the Diwali festive period, we executed focused marketing campaign to strengthen brand visibility and drive consumer engagement. We amplified our digital presence through performance-led campaigns across social and digital channels, which supported higher traffic and conversions on our own e-commerce platforms, boutiquelivingindia.com and layersindia.com. Our influencer-led and festive storytelling campaigns helped deepen brand connect and reinforce our digital-first positioning. On the offline front, we continue to enhance the retail visibility of our premium brand, Boutique Living, across leading retail destinations such as Shopper Stop and At Home. We have also expanded our retail footprint for both Boutique Living and Layers, adding 700 new counters during Q2, which has enabled deeper penetration in key domestic markets. Additionally, we broadened our product portfolio with new introductions in the bath and top of bed segments. This has strengthened our presence in the bed and bath home fashion category and increased our overall retail wallet share in the domestic market. We believe the domestic market remains promising and we anticipate strong growth opportunities ahead. To sum up, near-term volatility has impacted our performance in the first half of FY26 and continues to present challenges for the quarters to come. Along with monitoring the current situation and in view of the challenging external environment, we will adopt a judicious mix of volume and price for sales in the United States. That's it from my side. Now I request Mr. Manish Bhatia, our CFO, to share financial highlights of the company.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings call. I will first provide a brief overview of our performance, following which we will open the floor for questions. At the outset, I would like to highlight that Q2 FY26 and H1 FY26 are not directly comparable to the corresponding period last year. This is largely due to two key factors. First, there was no US tariff situation in the base period. Second, revenue contribution from the new business portfolio commenced only from Q3 FY25. Coming to volume, sales volume for Q2 FY26 stood at 25.2 million meters versus 23.6 million meters in Q1 FY26, a growth of around 7% quarter on quarter. showcasing a steady performance in this uncertain environment. Total income for Q2 FY26 stood at 1,082 crores compared to 967 crores in Q1 FY26, reflecting a growth of 12% on quarter-on-quarter basis. This is due to higher contribution from new businesses and volume growth in core business. Coming to EBITDA for Q2 FY26 stood at 123 crores compared to ₹119 crores in Q1 FY26, a growth of 3% quarter-on-quarter. EBITDA margin for the quarter was 11.4% versus 12.3% in the previous quarter. We expect margin pressure to continue until the end of this year. PAT for Q2 FY26 stood at ₹39 crores, almost similar to ₹38 crores in Q1 FY26. As volumes in the core business scale up and new business show more traction, we expect stronger EBITDA to PAT conversion over the next 2 years. EPS for Q2 FY26 is ₹1.97 per share. On the balance sheet side, we have also reinstated the balance sheet number for March 2025. This is due to finalization of the purchase price allocation of our two units which we acquired in US last year, which was earlier done on a provisional basis. Accordingly, the provisional values of assets and liabilities recognized at the time of acquisition have now been retrospectively adjusted to reflect the final allocation. Coming to debt side, there has been around ₹175 crores of debt reduction in H1 FY26. Net debt to equity ratio stood at 0.34x in September 25. With this, I open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Saraj Gupta from Swan Investments. Please proceed.
Yes, thank you, sir, for the opportunity and congratulations on a decent set of numbers in uncertain time. I have few questions. So, what is our current cotton mix like? How much do we source locally and how much is imported?
Hi, good afternoon. So, approximately our imported component at IndoCount is anywhere, it varies, but anywhere between around 30-35%.
Okay, sir, so follow-up on this, like, are we seeing any extension of the duty-free import of cotton that is till 31st December 2025 till now? So, is there any news on that?
So, most of the cotton that we import at IndoCount is 32 millimeter in length and above, which was anyway duty-free from before. However, cotton below 32 millimeter in length is duty-free up to 31st of December this year. We do expect it to continue, but you know, there's no news as of now. Should come out soon.
Okay. So, sir, as we see that we have done better from Q1 in terms of volume, so how much of this is being contributed to US and with the tariff impact? If the tariff, taking an assumption like the 50% tariff situation sustains, so are these numbers sustainable or we can see an impact on that?
So at this point of time, the increase in volume from Q1 to Q2 is in all markets, including the United States. Of course, in Q2 and Q3, we also have shipments for the holiday season that start going out. You know, so there's an impact of that also in this, which is specific to the US market also. Only time will tell, you know, once prices get recalibrated, retails get recalibrated, how markets behave in the United States for future demand.
So, taking the current situation into remark, we can see that the rest of H2 is less margin impact. Though our top line is going to remain or maybe we can grow, but our bottom line will be seeing a margin impact.
Yes, because the full tariff impact is now just setting in now, right? Because this happened end of August.
Okay, sir. I'll join back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishita from Sapphire Capital. Please proceed.
Yes. Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to know what is the total CapEx that we are doing in FY26 and if you have any CapEx plan for FY27.
Sure, sir. If you go to our investor deck, we had a total CapEx plan this year of approximately 200 odd crores, out of which 100 crores or 99 crores was our greenfield project in North Carolina, where we spent half of that money right now. And then, so basically out of approximately 200 odd crores, we spent around 80, 85 crores at this point of time. So, and for next year, there's really not, other than maintenance CapEx, there's really nothing else planned at this point of time. Some of the CapEx from this year might flow into next year, especially our zero liquid discharge at Bhilad, because we are in the final stages of closing the technology that we want to use in the next couple of months. And so that execution will go between, some of that expense will go between this year and next year. But there's no other major CapEx at this point of time.
Okay, understood. And if you could just reiterate what is the total revenue that we can do from the North Carolina capacity at full once it's fully ramped up. Actually, I couldn't hear you when you mentioned it in your starting comments.
No problem. It's $85 to $90 million.
Okay, and when do we expect the full ramp up to happen by?
So the facility will be fully up and running by end of this year, either December or January. That's the expectation. So basically, you have to look at the utility bedding with all three facilities put together and not individually going forward. Because as we acquire facilities and as we set up new ones, as and when that happened, we've given what is the potential of each facility. But finally, you have to look at it all put together. So we have a capacity of 31 million pillows and expect to do a revenue of $175 million within a three-year period, including this year.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Securities. Please proceed.
Hello, am I audible? Hello?
Yes.
Hi, sir. So just wanted to understand the impact of tariff in this quarter. Like, what would be the quantum of impact on EBITDA in coming in because of tariffs?
So, Prerna, I mean, we've taken a call, on what discount to give to which customer on a predominantly on a case-to-case basis. And, due to business sensitivity, we would really not like to get into further details. But of course, you can see between Q1 and Q2, there is an impact of almost 100 basis points or 84 basis points in the margin. And it's predominantly due to tariff reasons, But we don't want to get into any specifics. There is going to be an impact. I mean, as we're doing, recalibrating specifically for the Russian oil tariff.
Okay. And this impact will further increase only going forward because the Russian oil tariff was only for a month or 15 days time period.
Correct. The month is there. Of course, as a company, yes, the understanding is correct. And we are trying all ways and means, with operational excellence, supply chain, to see wherever some cost savings can also be done to offset whatever best can be done.
Okay. And so how is the demand in the U.S. now? Because what we understand is there could be a risk of demand slowdown given the inflationary environment that could kick in when full tariff is being passed on to the consumers. So how are the retailers behaving on order books and how is the utilization levels likely to be seen in the next half, especially second half?
Sure. So, as we see it right now, we are seeing the retailers being very nimble-footed, and trying to find what is the new normal. This is new for everybody, for whatever product portfolio they are selling. And they're continuously evaluating their product mix and inventory levels. So it's a very fluid situation, I would say. When the first 10% tariff came in all over the world, it was not that much of a drop in demand, but these are new tariff levels as the holiday seasons, you know, we are just getting into November, December, extremely important months. So how these play out, how new retails come in, what impact that has, you know, on overall retail demand. This has nothing to do from an India perspective. This has to do with global supply chain and a global perspective. So only time will tell, you know.
But we would have some clarity about a quarter or two, no? Because that's how your factories will be functioning. So it will be great. I mean, some sense. I don't know the number, but whether it will be a decline, can we expect a decline in volumes going forward? Some qualitative color would really help us to understand how
be
assumed.
At this point of time, our third quarter looks very similar to our second quarter in terms of volume. You know, so they are similar numbers. As we get into Q4 and forward, as I said, you know, once the holiday season pans out, you know, only time will tell, you know, once, you know, the full impact of retail price increases are not there in the market at this point of time. So once that takes in, then how do the retailers react? How do they level set the inventories? All this is very fluid at this point of time.
Understood, sir. So this is really helpful. At least some color is available to us now. Last question is, how do we see the brand business moving in future now that we've acquired utility product franchise for Tommy Hilfiger also? So the brand portfolio is continuously seeing expansion and the revenue share will keep increasing. So can you help us understand how the brand business in US, brand business in India, where do you see, what kind of numbers are there in both the geographies and how do you see them growing in the next 3 to 5 years?
So I think right now we've been very consistent, Prerna, that from a 3-year perspective, which includes 25, 26, you know, and of course all these brands are coming on stream as we speak. I think these are all marquee names, that we expect to do a revenue of 275 million. And you'll appreciate that we are at a run rate of 85 now with Q2 out of 275. So, you know, you're almost 30% there. So, hopefully this keeps growing, you know, it's not like every quarter might grow 40%. No business can do that, but I think we're on the right trajectory. And this helps us also deleverage our business out of India, you know, to a great extent and, you know, spread the risk across. So we are very positive. I think also addition of Tommy Hilfiger will help us utilize our utility bedding facility of pillows at a faster pace, hopefully.
Understood, sir. Thank you. And I'll come back to questions again. Thank you.
Sure.
Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shraddha Agarwal from AM Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so congrats on a good quarter despite challenges that we are seeing at the macro level.
Sorry to interrupt, Shraddha ma'am. Can you be a bit closer to your device?
Yes, sir. So we've been stating that adverse product mix has been one of the reasons for margin impact and this has been around for 3-4 quarters. So by when do you think it would be in the base and we would not see further impact on margins because of this reason?
So this reason is, I mean, for whatever changes that we started seeing in quarter 4, Feb and March specifically, I mean, that product mix, which also translates into our average selling price, you know, has continued in the last 6 months too, you know. We don't see that going down any further. I mean, we see that pretty constant. But what happens is, you know, today we are used to making a certain margin on a specific product mix and your costs and expenses are all on the basis of that. So that's how we've seen also a little bit of a margin decline in percentage terms. As markets stabilize, hopefully in the next, I would say, 6 to 9 months, you know, then margins will go back to 15 to 16% levels on our core business. That's the expectation.
And so what are the expenses we are currently incurring on ramping up a branded business? So any quantification as to what is the kind of sales and promotional activity expenses that we have incurred on Vamsut and other brands?
Sure. It's the regular, you know, like today we have a showroom, we've doubled the showroom size in New York. office. So we now have a 20,000 square foot showroom. Earlier it was 10,000 square foot. Then we've got a lot of human talent, like I mentioned even on the last couple of calls. You know, so it's like you've got to put the infrastructure in place first. As well as now as we have Vamsutra, there's a fair amount of money being spent on performance marketing, you know, which is as a direct-to-consumer brand. So all of that is being done, as well as for other brands, you know, to get the visibility out there. We will not be able to get the exact number, but this is part and parcel. And none of these businesses are a burn rate model, including our direct-to-consumer business. So we are acquiring customers by spending money using doing performance marketing, but we are not burning money doing that.
Right. And in a total utility and U.S. brand business, which is at a run rate of $85 million now, so would it be possible for you to give the split of utility and U.S. brand in this?
I mean, just from a thumb rule perspective, at this point of time, approximately it's two-thirds, one-third. That means utility is two-thirds of that number and one-third is brand, roughly.
And brand is predominantly led... Yeah, sorry. Please go ahead.
No, please go ahead. Please go ahead.
And brand would be predominantly Vamsutra or Waverly, yeah. I mean...
So, good question.
Brand would be a...
Yeah. So the way we've classified, and if you go back to our Q1 deck, and it's also in our current investor deck, and I would highly recommend everybody on this call to go through it because it's very important to understand the classification. So what we've done is we've divided the business into three parts, the core business, the utility bedding business, and the brand business. So under brand business, only four brands fall under that business, which is Fieldcrest, Waverly, Gayam, and Vamsutra. So any business done, whether it's selling towels, bed linen, pillows, anything that we are selling to a customer under these four brands will fall under the branded business. For example, we have brands such as Beauty Rest and Tommy Hilfiger now. For utility bedding, that will fall under the utility bedding segment.
So just one suggestion. I mean, we've been acquiring brands and then there's a split of total branded business and U.S. branded business. So rather than doing this split up, would it be possible to just give the branded business? Because from our perspective, it gets difficult to make a recall on what is U.S. branded business and what is utility branded business, what is B2B, the bed linen branded business. So it will make things simpler from our perspective.
Sure. So we'll evaluate that. We went through a lot of thought process and did it this way, but maybe end of the year at March we can relook at it. And also what we are giving our figures are overall branded business as a company as a whole across all categories is 20%. So that is also something that we've stated on slide 5, you know, of the deck.
Sure. And so just last question, this Tommy Hilfiger brand that we acquired, that's only for the utility segment, right? It's not for bed linen.
Correct. So it's only for white goods, which we call pillows, mattress pads, downall comforters, mattress protectors, pillow protectors, and toppers.
Got it. And I know it's early in the day, but any indication on what is the number that we did in Vamsutra this quarter?
No, we just started off, you know, so it will all fall under under the brand segment, but we have a great traction, you know, in the first 45 days we sold in every state, which is 50 states of the U.S. And again, if the website is called www.vamsutra.com, please go and see the customer reviews. You know, you have access, it's public information, you can go and see what a customer is saying who used to buy Bed Bath & Beyond and it's in the past. So there's a lot of great reviews that I would encourage you to go and read. So that shows how well loved the brand is.
Great. Thank you so much and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratiti from Param Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, so I just wanted to understand that generally we would have the order book ready for the next quarter in one quarter prior or two quarters prior. And if we could have some numbers on how the order book looks for the next 2 to 3 quarters.
Sure. So normally, particularly our customers place orders approximately 50 days before shipment. We get we have a rolling forecast. And then we get purchase orders roughly around 50 days before shipment. So we have visibility for this quarter. And so that's what I said, that, you know, our third quarter looks similar in terms of volume as to our second quarter.
Understood. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavan Chheda from Finan Holdings. Please proceed.
Yeah, great set of numbers in challenging environment. So just to get a number breakup, because I think last 2-3 quarters this new segment has come in. So as I understand, as you've given in the presentation, this utility bidding in new brand is 181 crores, which was 130 crores in Q1, right?
Yes, Bhavan.
Okay. And as I heard, you said now 2/3 in this is utility bidding and 1/3 is the 4 brands including Vamsuta.
Correct.
So that's roughly 120 and 60. Now, you also have this pillow capacity in US, Fluvitex and Arizona capacity, plus you have Quills capacity in, also separate. So where does the turnover of that is classified?
Utility bedding. That's the utility bedding business.
Okay. So this utility bedding includes all pillow turnover and Quills turnover.
That's the manufacturing in the US. Yes.
Okay, that's the manufacturing in the US. So this US part of the business is right now 180 crores, which includes all. What would be the rough EBITDA margins on this, if you can give any break-even point, how this will scale up and how the margins look at, how should we look at the margins on this part of the business, since this doesn't attract tariffs and obviously must be having some kind of a buoyancy. So how should you look at this business on the margin front?
You know, so as I've said before, you know, we've invested a fair amount, and you can see that even if you compare our employee cost of previous 6 months, first half to this 6 months, you know, the numbers are there. So we've invested as IndoCount Global, our US subsidiary, a lot on the human talent side and on the infrastructure side. And because of that, we have 150 to 200 basis point hit on our EBITDA margin as we speak. We expect, even as of today, that by fourth quarter of this year, FY26, this margin hit will go away. So the businesses will achieve break even and have a better utilization level. As you can see from two facilities already, we are 60%, you know, but there's a lot more investment that has gone in to take this business to a 275 million level. On the pillow business, we expect an EBITDA margin of 15 to 16%, and on the brand side, 17 to 18 is our internal target.
So, utility bedding 15 and brands 16, 17, you're saying?
Yeah, roughly. I mean, 17 to 18 is our target on brands, you know, and 15 to 16 is our target on utility bedding, you know, so we've been consistent with this. Even today, the business is EBITDA positive, it's just that we have more, our expenses are keeping in line a larger revenue figure.
Okay. And this year's CAPEX, I think your slide mentioned 250 odd crores, right? Overall CAPEX?
215 or something, roughly. Yeah.
This includes spent on US facilities and everything, or that comes via investments?
No, this is all included, right? So if you see slide 12, you have a greenfield project in North Carolina, which is totally an investment of 130 crores. Out of 130, 31 crores was spent last year. So we minus that and show 99 remaining. Out of 99 remaining, half of that is done as of now. Already done. 49 crores to be precise.
Sure. And so my last question on the, now I think the overall revenues, somewhere I think slide 5 you have said, is now non-US revenues is almost now like 30% of the turnover, right?
Yeah, we look at this more on an annualized basis, so we are at a run rate of on the core business of 30% on our non-US business.
And on this business, there is no tariff impact, so what is the normalized margin trending in this business? Should be 12-13%?
No, I mean, we would not get into specifics. You know, we can take it up offline if needed.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. Okay.
The next question is from the line of Naveen Baid from Nuvama Asset Management. Please proceed.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the great set of numbers. Clarification and just continuing from the previous participant's question. So Beauty West and your Jasper Karen brand, while that is a licensed brand, but do you classify it under utility wedding currently?
Beauty West and Tommy is under utility. You know, Jasper comes under core business. The reason, the four new brands, we put it all under new business, you know. And Jasper Conran is in the UK, it's not in the US.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tanmay Roy from LinkedIn. Please proceed.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So the most of the questions have been answered for me, just for two few questions. So it's considering that US tariff of 50% continues for maybe for, you know, 6 months or 8 months or 1 year. So can our other businesses in UK neutralize that kind of impact in terms of revenue as well as in margin?
Sure, then. So, you know, we have an Indocon presence in over 50 countries, you know, and I've been expanding our footprint through focused efforts in the recent years in these countries. And our non-core US business now contributes to 30% of our overall mix, you know, revenue mix for the core business.
Yes.
In our view, with our government signing new FTA free trade agreements, we expect our market share and contribution from these ROW markets to grow in the near future. We've already been putting a lot of effort in seeding demand for some time in these new geographies, you know, and in specifically certain countries like Australia, Japan, Middle East, Europe, UK. We have well-established customers, which we'll see that growth happening at a faster pace because we've already sown the seeds, you know, and we are well prepared as a company to capitalize on these emerging opportunities and diversify our geographic presence, you know. Having said that, the U.S. is a large consumption-driven economy, so we cannot discount that. So we have to make sure that all boats rise, you know, and it's not only being putting all focus on one market or another, but just across the board. But this is, India has never been in a better position than before with having a free trade agreement done with Japan in the recent past, Australia, Middle East, and now two more. UK is done, but has to get ratified by the UK Parliament, and then EU's, you know, hopefully will be done by the end of this year, early next year. So manufacturers in India are very well positioned to capitalize and capture more markets in these markets, having a level playing field.
So does those, all the other countries provide same kind of ASP as US, or it's like little, lower or higher?
Every market is different, you know, because you have consumers. At the end of the day, we are selling a product that is a consumer-driven product that people buy. So every market is different. Certain markets that I mentioned are very similar to the US, and some are different. So it's a different product profile, and then the raw material pricing also changes accordingly. But we have our capabilities to produce for all these markets and the infrastructure and the capacity.
The second one is, like you said, some of the customers retain the market share. You're sharing some load on the tariff side. So imagine that it's 50% of additional tariff due to Russian oil, the Putin 25%, if that goes off. So the sharing of that part, how it works, like your existing contract, which is already you are delivering. And so from the next contract onwards, they'll be, that tariff will not be there, but how it will work with the customer.
Yes, yeah, a very transparent conversation, you know, that it's a support, so that support automatically goes away, right?
So, but the existing contract which you are already, in between, those will not go up from those to tariff.
No matter, right? I mean, there could be a lag of a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I mean, we are here to do business in the long haul. So whatever the next, in certain cases, purchase orders get revised. I would say most cases. And, something is already shipped on the vessel or at the port. Nothing's going to happen to that. You know, but there are purchase orders, and the customers are very, very supportive and, you know, it's both sides. It's a two-way conversation. The objective is not to hurt either party.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Let's say, you know, if, you know, the trade deal goes through with the US and the tariffs normalize around 20%, 15 to 20%, that is in the range. So, let's say, in FY27, how do you see the impact of that on our margins, given, you know, how will this tariff sharing be done with the customers? So, if you can, you know, share your thoughts on the same.
See, it's very early to comment on any of this, you know. I mean, as I said earlier, we expect our core business to run at 15 to 16% margin. Taking a step back, keeping margin aside, I think we all have to understand that if you live in the United States, your wife goes and consumes something or you go and buy something at the market, in the store, these all, you know, new times in the sense that suddenly your prices are going to go up for all products across all retailers between 10 and 20%. You know, so how does the consumer react to it? So there could be some short-term reaction where customers buy less and then they understand that this is the reality of life and this is what we need to buy and, you know, spend money on to buy that shirt or any other product. And, you know, then consumption comes back because it's a highly consumption-driven economy. So I think only time is going to tell. So it will be almost impossible for me to tell you how volumes will behave, you know, in FY26-27 or how margins will behave, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, and currently, for some of the countries, some of the Asian countries, you know, the tariffs have been, you know, the trade deals have been finalized and the tariffs are anywhere between, you know, 18 to 20%. So how the customers are, how the retail chains are passing on the burden of this, you know, tariff with their customers or with our competitors?
Correct. So you're talking from how is a retailer passing on to their customer, correct?
No, how our competitors are sharing the tariff burden with the retailers.
Yeah, we would not have exact information. Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, everybody has to understand that, let's say 20% is the new norm for a US customer to buy product from Asia, you know. So a manufacturer anywhere in the world beyond the point, at some point, can share a tariff on a temporary basis, but not on a permanent basis, right? Otherwise, then product re-engineering will have to happen. You know, new product assortment will have to come into the marketplace because that has to reach some equilibrium. From a consumer perspective, when retailers increased the first 10% tariff came in, as I mentioned earlier, we did not see a dip in business on retail sales business, you know. The consumer accepted that retail and retail sales were similar to last year levels, let's put it this way. Now when these new tariffs, keeping India aside, you know, come in and all of that starts hitting the US market, especially after holiday season, you have to all wait and watch as to how consumers behave with that. And no retailer is pricing their retail product keeping India tariff, right? I mean, they are using the India tariff and then they buy that across product categories or within their assortment for that category of product.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Nishita from Sapphire Capital. Please proceed.
Yes, hello. So I just wanted two clarifications. You mentioned that we expected... Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so you mentioned that we expected to do a revenue of $275 million by FY28. Is that just from the branded business or is it from the overall business?
It's from our utility bedding business and our brand business.
Okay.
175 million from utility bedding and 100 million from brands.
Okay, understood. And I'm looking at this company for the first time. So I just wanted a clarification. Can you So what's the difference between the equity business and the brand business?
And we'll take it up offline with our team, because I would highly recommend you to read our investor deck. It's very, very clearly defined in there.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shraddha Agarwal from AM Security. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the follow-up. And just one clarification, sir. This Tommy Hilfiger and Beautyrest brands in utility bedding, would that be counted as US brand or the utility bedding business subsegment of this portfolio?
Utility bedding.
So meaning to say that the sourcing for these brands, Tommy Hilfiger and Beautyrest, the manufacturing is done from a US facility and the sourcing is not done from anywhere else for these two, three brands?
Correct. These are all manufactured in the US.
From our location, from our facilities.
Yes, from our three facilities. I mean, two now and then the third one will come up.
And for the other US brand business, which includes Vamsutra and Fieldcrest, the sourcing could be anywhere, including our manufacturing as well as from suppliers outside.
Correct, because in those brands we are selling multiple product categories. We are selling bed linen, we are selling quilts, comforters, we are selling baths, which is towels, bath mats, bath rugs. We are selling window, which is curtains. So all soft home products we are selling in those brands.
Got it. This is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Jain, Executive Vice Chairman. Thank you and over to you, sir.
So no more questions? Thank you once again for joining the call. Indocount has entered its next phase of growth, which we refer to as Indocount 2.0. Our investments in utility bedding and premium brands are strengthening our portfolio and expanding our market presence. While these investments are impacting margins in the short term, we are building a more diversified and resilient business for the future. Tariff-related challenges may continue for the next one or two quarters. Until the environment stabilizes, we continue to focus on operational efficiency, sustainability, and maintaining our market share. These initiatives reflect our commitment to delivering consistent and long-term value for our shareholders. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Indocount Industries, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.